and the Heartbreak Kid in 1973. He has received rave reviews in almost all of his achievements in broadcast and motion picture, and now devotes much of his free time to the environment and people in need. Eddie Albert on the radio show for Tuesday night. Service announcements involving the ecology and the environment. As I say, the man gives so much free time and so much of himself to learn about and try and solve the worldwide problems of hunger, poverty, pollution, soil erosion. He's also dedicated to studying ways to tackle issues and find solutions to all these very difficult problems. He's a very, very giving man who, as I say, shares his time and his treasure with people and animals in need. And he'll be on CBS this coming Sunday night, or coming Friday night, at 9 p.m. in Return to Green Acres.
My secretaries.
We are back and talking with Eddie Albert, who comes back on Return to Green Acres this coming Friday, the 18th of May at 9 o'clock on CBS. Right. I think Eddie was with us about a year ago. I'll tell you, you look terrific, champ. I don't know how you do it, but you're in great shape.
I'm a hollow shell.
Oh, no, you're not. May I just thank you on behalf of a lot of people for all the good stuff you've done for people and animals and trees and sky and water over the past 10 years. You've done a giant job. I don't know what motivated you, but you...
Selfishness.
Oh, come on.
It's a marvelous planet. I'm very happy on it. I want it to stay that way for my kids, too.
Yeah?
Yeah, and grandchildren. No, you don't thank me. I consider it a very great privilege to be able to fight for the planet, and I want to thank you for the privilege of letting me talk here.
It's my pleasure, sir.
Thank you.
Now, you mentioned that you were on radio in when? 1920? What?
1920.
Whereabouts was this now?
In Minneapolis. Yeah, it had a range of about 40 miles. There was no network at that time, I believe, yeah. And I had won a prize. I was a Boy Scout, and I had won a prize for making an essay about folks that had broken toys, hand them to the Boy Scouts, and we would deliver them to the firemen, and they would repair them and give them to the poor people.
Right.
So, because I won the essay, I got to make the speech.
On the radio.
Yeah, at the Dayton Company. It was up there, Dayton Hudson, you may remember.
Very famous department store.
Wonderful place, and it was a little four-story of a building at that time. And I was spoken, I looked like a kind of a horn. And I was very nervous, as you can imagine.
Really, yeah.
And of course, I dropped a page. Dropped a page on the floor, and I couldn't get away from the horn. And it was cold. There was a cold, sweaty hands about time.
Can you imagine, though, how you must have felt? Here you were, a Boy Scout, and they say, by the way, kid, you're going to be on the radio, and you're going to get to read this essay to all the people listening for 40 miles around. I'd be nervous. I'd be very nervous.
I still am. Yeah.
Do you get nervous now and again?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
And now, this was not a commercial radio station, was it?
They didn't have commercials then.
No. Did it have any call letters or just numbers?
I don't recall at that time. There was another station that later on became WCCO.
Mm-hmm.
WLAG, it was called, the Call of the North. And it was in a little... a hotel that I delivered papers to. I was then nine years old. Are you old enough to remember the three doctors? No, it doesn't ring a bell.
Tell me about it, though.
And then the... that group, have you tried Wheaties? Better than bread. That started there.
Yeah. Oh, I know that one.
That was Pillsbury, I guess, wasn't it? Yes.
No. Wheaties was General Foods, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they had...
Have you tried Wheaties?
Better than jelly or jam. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
That's a long time back.
You know, it's funny. I was listening on the way home last night.
Yeah.
Somebody from one of our stations, a fellow where at WICC in Bridgeport, Connecticut, sent me a collection of Jack Benny old-time radio tapes where Benny introduced the last show of Ma Perkins. Do you know Ma Perkins was on the air for 33 years on the radio?
Yeah.
And, I mean, when she said goodbye, this country stopped. For 30 seconds to hear her say goodbye. But they had this.
Yeah.
Have you tried Wheaties? And then they did Rinse O White, Rinse O Blue, Happy Little Wash Day Song. I don't know if you remember that one.
I remember another one.
Then they had the Andrew Singer's Pepsi Cola hits the spot. Yeah. 12 full ounces. That's a lot. Twice as much for a nickel too. Pepsi Cola is the drink for you.
wasn't that the first singing commercial?
No, the first singing commercial was two guys, and they sang for interwoven socks.
The interwoven pair.
That's exactly right. Yeah, the interwoven pair. You got it.
I had forgotten. Yeah. I was with a trio on KSTP.
Now you're on KSTP right now.
Oh, is that so?
Yes,
hello. Hello, friends. That's my hometown. I can't remember them theme, though. If I remember it, I'll snake it in.
Okay, that's okay. Who's the guy I got the letter from KSTP? The guy that owns the place out there, Hubbard, right?
Hubbard.
Got a very nasty letter from Hubbard. Very nasty letter. Well, not nasty, but he didn't like something I did.
Well, he's been there a long time.
Yeah, I know.
I remember at that time KSTP was one room in the St. Paul Hotel. And we sang in it, this trio and I.
Back then, all radio stations were one room somewhere.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's
and all
true.
Television stations.
KMOX was one room in the...
St. Louis.
Yeah,
CBS
one.
In St. Louis.
I was there, yeah.
Anyway, on to Return to Green Acres.
Yes.
Coming up on Friday night.
Uh-huh.
How was it to return?
Oh, it was marvelous.
Yes?
We see each other, all of us, from time to time. But to get back on in the saddle again is there's nothing to... It's a pity to take the fee.
Oh, come on.
We're on. Oh, excuse me. Take that back.
When did you make the picture? Was it last year that you made this or recently?
No, just recently. We finished, I'd say, 6 weeks ago.
The reason I ask is, was all this this Gabor stuff with her sister going on while you were making this picture?
Oh, yes.
Yeah?
Exactly. Yes. Which was kind of rough on Eva.
I know.
Because she loves her sister very much. And she would have hated to see her go through that. But Jasha seems to handle it to be very happy with it.
Well, she's got her name in the papers again, you know what I mean?
Oh, what happened?
No, I mean, when she did this, she got her name in the papers again.
Yeah.
I think Jasha likes getting her name in the paper, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, a lot of people are not really antagonistic toward it, but she seems to enjoy it more than anybody else.
This is true.
Everybody except Mr. Ziffel, he passed on to Greener Acres.
And isn't there a cute thing in the beginning of the credits where the pig goes over and puts flowers on a tombstone, or am I giving something away here? It's in the front.
I don't know. Well, I don't know if it's in, I haven't seen the picture, but there
Fred
was
and,
something like
Fred
that.
Fred and Doris Ziffel have died, right?
Yeah.
Something that it says here in a review of the show, something that we learn in the opening credits, when a sad-looking Arnold the Pig visits their grave with a snoot full of flowers. So I think that's in the opening credits of the picture.
Well, if it's there on your sheet, it must be in the show.
Well, it's in this magazine called Entertainment Weekly, so it must be so.
All kinds of nasty things happen. Arnold runs away and they're going to pick him up and make him sweet and sour pork in a restaurant. And then I hear from the boys in Green Acres that Haney has bought up all the properties and is going to be selling them all to a big developer. And I can't tell you anymore
how
it comes out.
That's okay. That's okay.
But in the end, we come back to Hooterville, and of course, it's all happy, and we walk into the sunset.
Right.
Here in California, that was in a little neighboring village there in the show, Pixley. I don't know why they got a name like that, Pixley.
Well,
it's a good name. Right.
Long before Jackie Gleason and...
True, yeah. That was on NBC. We finally got to New York. We had 15 minutes every day in the morning.
I wonder if Gleason had heard that show and borrowed your title, you know, the Honeymoon.
Well, he was welcome. I don't know if he did. Probably not, but if he did, he's welcome. Yeah. Wonderful performer.
Oh, no question
Gleason,
about it.
Yeah.
No question about it. But now, when you were the Honeymooners, was that before Brother Rat? Yeah.
Yes. Yes. We were, that, the Honeymooners was on NBC, 1934, late 34, and, we had come in there from Cincinnati, and from WLW, which was a fantastic studio at that time.
Yeah, still is.
30 or 40 musicians, 50 musicians on staff.
Mm-hmm.
At least 25, 30 actors on staff.
Mm-hmm.
And we would do 25 to 30 shows a week under mm-hmm. different names. That's where I learned how to act, to sing, to talk about the wheat coming in, everything like that. And but the Brother Rat was about 1935 or 6, give or take. We did the picture in 1938 out here. With the president, Ronald Reagan.
Ronald Reagan. That was your big Broadway hit, the first one, wasn't
yes,
it, Brother
yes.
Rat?
And then I had room service after that, and Boys from Syracuse, and when Balanchine did the ballet, and that one, Rodgers and Hart.
Mm-hmm.
I was lush. And it was my heaven.
What a wonderful time, though, to be the you must have been the toast of Broadway, right? Big star in New York, you know. Brother Rat was a big hit.
Well, I didn't notice. I didn't notice
hit.
That, but I knew I loved acting, and all of that writing was very superior stuff. And then I came out here and did the ballet in On Your Toes,
mm-hmm.
Slaughter on 10th Avenue. I still ache from that, yeah.
And when you were in New York doing all these great things on Broadway, did you go to all the places that were hot? Like, did you go to the 21 restaurant back then?
And,
No.
I was
and
too timid.
Was, and the, like, Toots Shores and all the nightclubs?
No, I didn't. I was right out of the wheat fields, and that was pretty scary for me,
yeah.
Those places. As long as I could get on the stage, I seemed to feel comfortable. I enjoyed that. But no, I didn't. As a matter of fact, when I first got there, I had a room on 48th Street right off of 7th Avenue, and it would cost me $3 a week. And there was no lighting, and so I would read from the sign across the street. I was on a fourth floor. I was the only... The place was condemned, and there was a speakeasy in the cellar. And I would read from the light of the sign, which was Toots Shores.
Mm-hmm.
But I never went into the restaurant. Well, later on, when I was in the Bucks and such, you know, after the war, I used to... He was lots of fun. But I was really awestricken to see Damon Runyon there and people like that. And but that was the best time, and I don't think it's been any after the war. It was a whole different thing, I guess.
Well, you were in the Bucks then, kid. You know.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So I could afford it.
We're talking with Eddie Albert.
Did Margo pass away?
Yes, about 5 years ago.
Well, I thought so, and I adored her.
Me too.
I'm at that age where, you know, I remember all the old pictures and all. You made a wonderful couple, and I knew you were very happy.
And well, she's very much missed, yes.
Yeah, I'm sure she is, and God bless you.
Thank you.
And you too?
Well, that's a complicated question. The first one, I doubt it, and the second one, yes.
You do prefer the country life
to
the city life.
Oh, sure.
We are talking
I'd just like to tell about one of the funniest, the time that Eddie made me laugh the most. He was in appearing in a play. It was a preview performance with Nanette Fabre.
What was the show? Do you recall?
At the No Hard Feelings.
Yeah, at the Martin Beck Theater.
No Hard Feelings, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Very funny.
It was a cue, but the thing that I believe was unintended was that Eddie came out and his fly was open.
In a play called No Hard Feelings, his fly is open, huh?
His fly was open, and I was seated right near his wife. If she could have gotten under the seat,
yeah,
she would have.
That was really embarrassing, isn't it?
I never forget that. And there was one line about your line. Next line was, soon the whole world will know or see, something like that.
But
really? It just went on and went on, and everybody was...
Yes, I remember. They never stopped. Yeah, like you couldn't go on.
That you didn't know what was... and then finally somebody motioned to you.
But the fellow I was talking to, there were two of us on stage, mm-hmm. and I was sitting there, and they was laughing, and yeah. I'm looking around, and I'm wondering what it is, and I couldn't tell. And we're talking, and finally he kind of looks down, mm-hmm. and his eyes get bigger, and he's looking, and he looks up at me, and I know what he's thinking. And I said, oh, my heavens.
Oh, no.
Oh, this is awful. Yeah. And I finally, when the audience realized that I had caught on, they fell apart. Yeah. They screamed.
Yeah,
I finally got up and I walked upstage and turned my back.
That's right.
And zipped it up, and then I turned out and faced them, and I said,
but I didn't know whether to keep my eyes on you or.
But wait. You turned around, and what did you say to the audience?
I couldn't. They were screaming.
Yeah.
And I just kind of mouthed, I'm sorry. I apologize.
But I didn't know whether to keep my eyes on him or to keep my eyes on his wife, because she kept shrinking and shrinking, and she was as much embarrassed as he was.
What a wonderful story.
Those little things are only sent to try us.
Yeah.
Thanks for the memory. You made my evening.
Okay.
And Art.
Yeah.
No hard feelings.
No hard feelings.
All right, pal.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. What a great, great moment. I know you were embarrassed at the time, but now it's a lovely story about something that happened in your youth, you know?
You can't believe it. Oh, no. Because I had a quick change off stage.
Yeah, you came back.
Come right back on, and I was putting on my necktie when I walked in. And I forgot
you know, they're still in one of the restaurants here in town. I believe it's Jason's. There's a great sign as you come out. It says, gentlemen, watch your step. And your fly, you know, so that you don't walk back into the dining room, you know. With egg on your face. Listen, I'm out of time, my friend. It's great to see you again.
Are we finished?
Yeah, we're all done for tonight.
Oh, shucks.
But you're always welcome back here.
Thank you.
By the way, have you tried Wheaties?
Have you tried? SKSTP, a musical family, bringing lots of fun for everyone.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Watch Eddie on Friday night.